We pray. Our blessed loving God and Father, we realize the tremendous responsibility of warning men and women to flee from the wrath to come. But yet we thank Thee that there is a message, that the Lamb of God came into the world, and we thank Thee He's the one that takes away all sin. There is nothing that will thrill the hearts of men and women, young people, more than rejoicing that their sins have been forgiven. This could be the very night we'd ask God to do it. For the glory of Thy name, for the honor of the Lord Jesus, and for the blessing and good of Thy people, and for those that will believe. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Now, if you have your Bible tonight, I'm going to invite you to turn to the second gospel. Now, that is the gospel according to Mark. And in chapter 8, please, this is a marvelous gospel. It is the gospel where you know nothing, or he doesn't say anything, about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark doesn't do that. He was a servant, and a low and unfaithful servant for a time. God chose him to be the one who would give us an unfolding of God's perfect servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Mark says in his gospel is very definite, very, very clear. And allow me to say, beloved, that people are interested in you tonight. Before the commencement of our gathering, there were a number of brethren, men that are Christians, and they gathered in a little room, and they unburdened their hearts in the presence of God, and they were praying for you. Tonight, in the city of Miami at this present time, there is a group of Christians that are praying in another language. And they're asking God to come in mighty power and speak in the Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel. And I believe that God is going to answer their prayers. In Hong Kong tonight, there are believers. It's not night there. It's tomorrow. There's 13 hours difference between them and you. But these believers are gathered together, and they know that we're here, and they are praying also for God's mighty power. And God is a God that hears, and He answers prayer. And He's more desirous of answering our prayers and we are that those prayers should be answered. Reading, please, in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8. And toward the end of the chapter, verse number 36.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Will you please now turn to the last book of the Bible? It's the book of the Apocalypse, the book of the Revelation. Not the revelation of St. John the Divine, as perhaps your Bible says that it is, but actually it is the revelation of our blessed and wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 18, please. Reading, please, at verse number 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Now, the her in this particular instance is Babylon. And the reason why I read these scriptures to you tonight is because we are living in very, very similar days. Notice what it says. Verse number 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas! Alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. One day is with our God as a thousand years. And a thousand years as one day. And that which it took a thousand years to accomplish is happening in one day in which we are living. Even the medical world have told us that because of the space program, medicines have changed drastically over the last 5 years. There was a time when it was impossible to operate on the heart. And we have brethren present tonight that have had a cornea transplant. Recently, a few weeks ago, I spoke to a dear brother. I was there in the States when they operated on him. And they took out the hip bone, and he can walk beautifully. Changes. You can have new bones put into your hands if you've got arthritis. Things are changing. Notice, please, verse number 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, Babylon. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen, and purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense and wine and oil, and fine flour and wheat, and beasts and sheep, and horses and chariots, and slaves. And as though least of all in that long, long list of Babylonian merchandise, as though of least importance, the souls of men. And for that reason tonight, I have read to you that portion in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Of what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I was in China a little over a year ago. And before going into China, I spent a week with my daughter, who serves the Lord in that fabulous city, the third financial city of the world. It's a woman's paradise. Things that you can only look at here in Nassau, over there you can afford to have them. Gold, ivory, precious stones. I went into a jewelry shop, and my son-in-law said to the jeweler, he said, my father-in-law used to be in that business, setting precious stones to adorn women's jewelry. He would like to see some of your rubies. Now, rubies are more valuable than diamonds. So that little Chinese jeweler, he closed the doors, pulled down the shade, and with a little scoop, he opened the drawer, and he poured into my hand that scoopful of diamonds. And I looked at it. I said, I can evaluate the price of them. He said, what? I said, over $1 million. He says, you've got it right. And I took those rubies and I put them back onto a black velvet cushion. And I looked at that little man and I said, you know, you have something more valuable than those rubies. He said, what? I said, your precious soul. And the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And passing on toward my daughter's rented home, she said, look, Daddy. I said, what do I see? He said, you see the most fabulous home in the city of Hong Kong. Why is it precious? He said, the man that lives in that dwelling will not allow his family to live apart from him. And in order to give his dear wife a present on Christmas morning, he hand the entire bedroom about the size of this room, the ceiling strung with pearls. I said, I'd like to go in and see it, but you don't go in. You know how he made his fortune? Fixing Singer sewing machine. And then he bought the company. 10 Rolls Royces in the garages. And still, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Tonight, with the help of God, I should like to try and draw the curtain aside that separates the lost souls that are crying tonight for a drop of water to cool their parched tongue, for they are tormented in that flame. A rich man, he looked up and he saw Abraham. Now, if you want to consider Abraham a saint, he's the only one in the Bible to whom a prayer was offered, and it wasn't answered. He said, Abraham, send Lazarus, the beggar, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham, send between us and you. There is a great gulf fixed, so that they that would come cannot. Well, if he can't come to dip his finger in water to cool my tongue, send him to my father's house. I have 5 brethren, that they might be warned, lest they also come into this place of torment. Do you know that the very next man that our blessed Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead was a man by the name of Lazarus? And the people wouldn't believe. And so tonight, very, very briefly, I want to draw aside the curtain And I want to ask the question of some who evaluated the worth of their soul. And in the caverns of the damned, in the darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a coal mine, but I have. And the miner extinguished that little light on his cap. And I held up my hand and I couldn't see it. And it gave me the feeling that I could almost feel the darkness. That's what hell is like, but more than that. It's the place of torment. And those that pass on are there forever. And there is no second chance. There are four words I should like to mention to you tonight. If you're unconverted. That man found himself in hell, in torment. There's a couple more words, four more words, that we find in the Epistle to the Philippians. With Christ, far better. Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth forever and forever and forever. I ask the question as the curtain is drawn aside. You, sir. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world and lose his soul? I look at a man who actually kissed the very door to heaven. And he had valued his soul for 30 pieces of silver, only the price of the slave. And he denied his Lord. And he implanted a kiss upon his face. And Judas Iscariot tonight, he sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, tell me, what shall it profit a man? 30 pieces of silver. And he took the silver coins and he threw them into the treasury and he went out. And he hung himself. Do you believe that it's possible that here in Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel that men and women can sell their souls for the paltry things of time and sense? My brother, Mr. Pinder, said that we lived in Cuba for many years. We never had a building like this. We never knew what it was even to have a fan to circulate the air.
And I had to make the benches myself. And the people came in and never heard the gospel before. One evening, a dear girl came in, and she had lovely blue eyes and blonde hair. Cuban? Yes. And she liked to sit in the second seat. She had a lovely voice. And she learned to sing the songs of Zion. Her name was Veneranda Fuentes. And she listened with rapt attention. And at the conclusion of an evangelistic service like this, she remained behind. I like to see people remaining behind with the tears streaming down their cheeks. And I like to see them burdened because of their sins. And Veneranda sat. My dear wife and I sat down next to her. And once again, we pleaded with that dear girl to trust in the Savior's blood. Wouldn't you like to be a Christian? Yes. Would you like to know your sins forgiven? Yes. We're going to pray for you, Veneranda. She said, John, she said, I'll make a choice tonight. And I'll come back tomorrow night and tell you what happened. We walked home with that dear girl, said goodnight to her, and came home and prayed again. And sure enough, Veneranda was in the meeting the next night. She took out the hymn book, and she sang the hymns. And at the conclusion of that service, I said, Veneranda, what's the choice? And with a grin upon her face, she says, I have chosen not to become a Christian. Do you believe that's possible? I do. You see, beloved, there are two tremendous forces in our gathering tonight. God's Holy Spirit is here. And you can sin against the Holy Spirit and you'll never be forgiven. What is that sin? The rejection of the Son of God. And you can leave this church tonight and you can trample underfoot that precious blood. What shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose a soul? And from the blackness of darkness and from the everlasting torment, Judas Iscariot said, 30 pieces of silver, and he lost his soul. I have been in an evangelistic meeting just like this, and I have seen a young woman, and the tears are streaming down her cheeks. God was speaking, and I saw the hand of a young man sitting next to her, and he shook his hand, so don't do it. And she looked at him, don't do it. And she didn't do it. like sand. Judas, you're in hell tonight. 30 pieces of silver. What shall it profit a man if he gained the world and lost his soul? The souls of men, in comparison to the wealth of the world, it isn't worth it. It's not worth it. And if you were to give me 10 million worlds tonight to do without the Savior for 5 minutes, I'd have to turn it down because I'm expecting the Lord to come. I see another. And as he sinks down into the torment, I ask the question, and what shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his soul? Well, he said, I had the opportunity one day of releasing the Christ of God. I offered him to the people. And I said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I refer to Pontius Pilate. Pilate, tell me the price. You see, Herod and I were made friends that day. And I thought that popularity with a political leader was worth more than giving up the Lord Jesus to be scourged. I tried to speak upon that one night when I was here. The scourging of the back of God's beloved Son. They tell me that when that was done, a man had to bow his back, his face, toward his knees. The clothing was stripped from his body. And that scourge with from 9 to 39 lashes, with bits of iron and bone tied, the very end. And it tore the flesh from the body. And I've tried to visualize that Roman soldier stripped to the waist. And the skin flies and the blood splatters his hands and perhaps his face. And he curses God and he blasphemes. He throws down the whip and another takes his place. And I understand that when there was a scourging, often the victim died. But my blessed Lord said, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. And he was led out to Calvary. And Pontius Pilate asked for a basin. And he washed his hands. But he could never eradicate the blood from his conscience. Pilate, tell me, what does it profit? Popularity? What did he gain? Nothing. But a few months later, Pontius Pilate died an untimely death. What did it profit? Nothing. Come with me again, and I see another. And his name was Felix. We read of him in the Acts chapter 24. And he listened to the Apostle Paul preach the gospel. And he stifled his conscience. A number of months after that, he lost his position. And he came to an untimely death. Felix, what does it profit? Nothing. I'll hear you again of this matter. He trembled, but tonight he's weeping and he's wailing and he's gnashing his teeth. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he kneeled before him. He said, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? You know the prophet, you know what the law says? Yes, I've kept it. All right, he said, sell what you've got. What shall it profit a man? Sell what you've got. Give to the poor. Take up thy cross and follow me. The young man arose from his knees. And he looked into the tender face of the Lord Jesus and turned his back upon him. And he went away sorrowful. And Jesus was sad because he did. What did it profit him? Nothing. I read of a man in the Word of God who had in abundance. He said, I'm going to tear my barns down and build greater, and I'm going to say, well, you've got it all. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. He had everything, but he lost his soul. You know, it's possible, beloved, to gain silver like Judas. It's possible to gain position like Pilate. And it's possible to enjoy popularity and pleasure and all your possessions and lose your soul. The Lord gave to this world in which you and I live his only well-beloved Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave up his position in heaven. He left the ivory palaces and came into a world of woe. He gave up his riches. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He gave up his happiness, that you might enjoy everlasting life. He gave up everything in life. That's the true value of a soul. The Lord Jesus places upon that soul to give it all up that you might be saved. I might be speaking to someone tonight. You came perhaps to hear some missionary tale, and I tell you, and I could tell you hundreds. I could tell you of different parts of the world that one has visited. And some marvelous experiences. But beloved, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times better to warn you to flee from the wrath to come and invite you to the Savior that entertain you on the way down to the everlasting burning. Tonight, I invite you to the Savior. Shall we pray? I realize that I'm speaking to some tonight, and you have never touched the hem of his garment. You might be able to sing Amazing Grace, but you have never come to Christ to experience it. He died on the cross that you might live. And he's here tonight. And every Christian with a head bowed, they're praying for you. Tomorrow's sun might never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time. Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Our Father in heaven, if there is a young man or a young woman tonight, grant that they might say from their hearts, Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a lost sinner, but I want to be a Christian. My mother's going to heaven. I want to join her. My father's there. Lord Jesus, tonight, as a poor lost sinner, I come to thee, I confess my sin, but I receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant that this might be the prayer of some. Give us the joy of rejoicing with them, that their names are written in heaven. These things we ask, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Only trust him, only trust him.